Before we begin today's podcast, I'd just like to tell you that it's brought to you by Blaze. The truth. Blaze Pizza. Fast fired. You want any pizza you want in 3 minutes, and I am not being paid to say this.
Run to, not from.
That's what it says on the box. Come on.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 453, Indoors versus Outdoors. Last Thursday night, Reed Martin and I opened the Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival workshop production of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, with actors Chad Yarish, Dan Sasky, and Teddy Spencer. These are the same actors, of course, and production that back in June and July played outdoors at the beautiful grove of the Upper Valley campus of Napa Valley College as part of Shakespeare Napa Valley's summer season. Having done now 6 performances in Notre Dame's Regis Philbin Studio Theater, yes, donated by that Regis Philbin, Reed and I gathered for a between-show meal on Saturday with Chad, Dan, and Teddy to talk about the differences performing outdoors in St. Helena and indoors here at Notre Dame.
For you and me, the biggest difference is you have to, there's light cues, which the sun was the light cue outside.
Right.
And I think we are also, just because it's enclosed, more aware of the sound cues.
Right.
The guys, I think, don't have to project as loud. Because outside in St. Helena, it was a big space. It wasn't always full, but it was a space that probably would have held 300.
Right.
This is an indoor space that holds 99 at the most. So those are some differences.
We should talk to the guys. Dan Sasky, Teddy Spencer, Chad Yarish, repeating their roles, repeating their triumph, their Shakespeare Napa Valley triumph here at Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival. What's it been like for you guys? First of all, how was the 2-week break between them there and here? Was that helpful? Did it all go out of your head? Did the play continue to gestate while you had the time off?
Yeah, I thought it was super helpful. Just coming back to it, not having, you know, not looking at it at all over those 2 weeks, and then just coming back to it, there was a freedom to the language, and I didn't feel like I was locked into any line readings or anything that I had drilled before. So that was really nice to have that freedom and ease with the language, which was nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really notice any difference. I mean, for me, like, after I'm done with a show, unless I start something right away, that it just kind of sits in there waiting to resurface at some point.
It's a great analogy. It's like
much like Blaze Pizza.
Yeah, much like Blaze Pizza.
And I'm not being paid to say that.
Yeah. And I don't think you ever will be.
Yeah, no, and I think what Teddy said was spot on. I mean, I did not open my script.
Right.
You know, and it was nice to just, you know, walk away from it for a couple weeks, but it was only 2 weeks, so you know, muscle memory and all that was still there.
How far away could it really go? Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But one thing I did notice is that one thing I miss from being outdoors in St. Helena is there was a lovely sense of event at that part, because people showed up at 5:30 when the house, in air quotes, opened, and they brought picnics, and they brought alcohol, although they were not supposed to, and they just turned it into an evening, even though the show didn't start for 90 minutes at 7 p.m. And so now we're back indoors in a black box space. It's very formal, and it's lost that sense of event.
Yeah, it's kind of like a party before, which was really fun.
It was a party before, and now it's a theater piece. On the other hand, there is a kind of a focus and a kind of a mystery and a, I don't know, magic maybe to it now.
Well, it seemed more all for one and one for all, including the performers in the audience in St. Helena. The lights never went out.
Right.
So you could always see the audience. They could always see you. When the guys came out into the audience, you could pick up the beer. You could sit beside, you know.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, it was more informal. Everybody would just hang out. You guys would come and chit-chat. So, yeah, it felt more like everybody was in it. More formal here is a very good way to put it.
Yeah.
It's like the original practice version of the long lost, William Shakespeare's long lost first play of Bridge. Original practice, all the same lighting, everybody together in the space, which was cool, yeah.
Right. No, yes, it was much more authentically Globian.
Yeah.
If that's not, can't be possibly a word.
Lots of room to run around. And
You were having a blast running around.
Filling around and, you know, trying people's food or drinks or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, there's not really, we don't get that playfulness in the audience when I go out in the audience now, because I'm just feel like I just an audience member.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to really talk to anybody. No one else can see me, really, when I sit down. So.
Right. And no, we are a lot closer to the audience now, because before there was the stage and, I don't know, maybe like 5 feet where people wouldn't sit. Now, we have to be careful not to get into their laps.
Right.
Well, except for Dan, who's supposed to get into
who's supposed to get into them. Well, and I always sat near the back in St. Helena, and it was great because you had to command. You absolutely had to command the space. And like the original Ren Faire days, I presume, because I wasn't there, you had to command people's attention. And it wasn't hard. They gave it to you easily. But you had to contend with, I don't know, trucks going by,
train horns,
you know. You had some stuff to compete with. And you had to compete with the fact that people weren't always looking at you. They were looking down at their food and forking it into their face. Now, for better or for worse, they're looking right at you the whole time. It seems a little more intimidating now.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's absolutely more intimidating.
Do you feel like you have to work as hard? Reed was saying that earlier. Do you feel like, is it easier?
There are some things that are easier, like not having to project so much is way easier.
Yeah, easier to throw away stuff.
Yeah, absolutely throw the things away. But the space is much more confined, so the costume changes became a bigger challenge than when we were outside.
Yeah, we got less room backstage, a lot less room backstage than you used to have.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's easier being in a smaller space or if it's just repetition, but I just find that I'm not having to push as much, and you know, and it's just my body knows how to do it more effectively, more efficiently than it's learned how to do it, and it's learned how to go through it without exhausting itself every time.
Yeah, that is one of the great things, is that, you know, you're sweating buckets on the first performance, and by the, you know, 20th performance, you go, I got this.
You got a rhythm.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still sprinting around, obviously, but it is less distance to travel.
Yeah.
You know, from out in St. Helena, you know, leaping off the stage and maybe running 20 feet away from the stage.
Right.
Now I'm 2 feet away.
Yeah.
You know?
And it doesn't feel like the audience is playing with you as much here.
No, I mean, I'll typically sit out there and just say, hi, how you doing? And they'll say hi, you know, or smile.
Yeah. They'll look at you, I'm sorry, I'm watching a show.
Yeah.
Can you
exactly.
not?
Exactly.
And what would the interactions be outdoors in the daytime in St. Helena?
It was just more welcoming. Yeah. It wasn't just, hey, now you're sitting by me as an audience member. It was more like, oh, wow, this is exciting. And, oh, do you want some of this, you know, crackers and cheese and olives that we have here or a sip of wine? And I'd always say, yes.
Yes. What, am I an idiot? there's another. Also in St. Helena, the audience walked into the performance space from backstage. They walked past all the tables with all the costumes on them. So, in the one sense, there wasn't that great sense of illusion that you get. But on the other hand, it's what you were saying, Reed, that they were part of it. They see the costumes. They know how it works. They know you're getting help backstage. And it was still okay, because that was part of the experience. Here, it's like, you know, Puck comes out and is like, please don't destroy the illusion, Puck. I'm watching a show.
Right.
it's magical.
I mean, one of the big differences that I think Chad already touched upon was just the room that we have, the space that we have backstage.
Yeah.
You know, out in the park, it was a little more distance to travel. But when we got to the tables, I mean, I could be throwing things, you know, all over the place. And here it's a lot more compact, so I'm more worried about smacking someone in the face while I'm, you know, doing something, because everyone's that close.
This is Matt Walker, the artistic director of the Troubadour Theater Company in Los Angeles, and you're listening to the Reduce Shakespeare Podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? In a little over a month, we begin our fall of 2015 tour, performing the complete history of Comedy Abridged and the ultimate Christmas show Abridged in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Virginia, California, Louisiana, North Carolina, Missouri, and Kansas. And then, next April and May of 2016, we'll perform the official RSC premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Folger Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to Reed Martin, Chad Yarish, Teddy Spencer, Dan Sasky, and I talking about the differences in indoor versus outdoor audiences and whether you can see and hear them depending on the venue. Could you see them in St. Helena as well? Could you sense what the reaction was? Could you hear them?
I think I could see them better in St. Helena, but I can hear them better here.
Okay.
Yeah, like I could, yeah. You could see them in St. because it's in the daylight, right? And then, but here there's not as much distance for the sound of, say, their laughter, yeah. Hopefully, fingers crossed, to travel, so you can really pick up on that right away and play off that more and hold more for those, you know. It's easier to have that relationship.
Yeah, it did seem like there were times in St. Helena where we weren't sure whether we needed to hold for a laugh or not.
Right.
And then we'd come back and you guys would give us a note, you need to hold for that laugh.
Yeah.
Or like that one bit with the eye to the world and like a drop of water that seeks to find another drip. It's like, is that... Nope, nothing's going on there. All
right. Right. Well, and so did you feel like... I think I'm probably asking the same question a third different way. Did you feel like you had as much of... Where did you have a greater connection to the audience? Indoor in this 100-seat space? Outdoors? Or is it just a different kind? Is it a matter of degrees?
Yeah, I would say it's just a different kind.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, and there's some definitely, like Dan said, a difference between an alcohol-fueled audience and... one that's just had some coffee.
Right. Well, and I just feel that audiences can detach in their own way no matter what the venue is. So out in the park, people could be, you know, further away. We're going to sit in the back on our blanket. And here it's much more apparent if they're just going to tune out.
Yeah.
Because they're right there.
Right. Yeah, but you haven't had any sleepers yet, have you?
You know, we did have one. It was sitting in the house left in the corner. I forget. Maybe it was opening. I don't know. I don't remember.
Here,
near the towards the beginning of the play, and I thought, oh great, I'll call him out on that later. And then I think I pulled him up on stage as a APB, and he was great.
So I was like,
well, at the last speech, I'm not going to clown him for that, you know, because he made up for it.
Well, the darkness, too. I mean, you're doing a play where it's in the sunlight, so people might feel their, you know, more sense of more responsibility to be engaged because we're all, you can see me just as well as I can see you, but when you have the mask of being in the audience when it's dark in the audience, that might allow them to... You know, they might be able to check out a little bit easier.
Right. In fact, we left the house lights up for a while in like one of the previews, and then we went, it's not right leaving the house lights on. It diffused the focus.
The audience didn't realize the show was starting. Was part of it.
Yeah. It was part of it. And they were going, our indoor audience expect to sit in the dark.
Yeah.
In that kind of a thing.
But the way the light spills in this space, I mean, I can see the first five rows. I mean, what are there, eight or nine rows? You know, half the audience. Yeah. And, I mean, I know they know that I can see them, and there's, you know, there's that, and then there's that really cool connection. I mean, out in the park, you can kind of just glance around, and people don't really know. Here we could be very specific, about that.
One thing we've gotten to do here, you and I, is we got the week of tech and dress rehearsals and focusing on things, you know, we had probably bigger fish to fry in St. Helena. Yeah. I remember, you know, several things where somebody's running off stage and we're saying, we're seeing you take that off before you're out of sight. And you guys go, is this new? No, we just had bigger problems. Not that there are problems, but bigger issues to deal with in St. Helena. So we've been able to sort of polish the show in those ways.
Well, and we were able to rehearse some scenes that we never really got to rehearse out there because we were just learning the lines.
Yeah.
Learning the lines and figuring out other issues. So here, with that two-week break, you came in knowing it still so well. We were actually able to break a couple of scenes down, do a couple of scenes in our own language versus Shakespeare's language, all of which seemed to really deepen and enrich and biggin.
Well, it was great, too. It was really great of you guys as well, you know, true to your form, that we did not get any sort of new cuts or anything during that two-week break. You know, it's like throw them all at us right before we're going to do a preview or something. You know, it's perfect because that's what
made you think we would be thinking about it.
But we were. But also, really, that's the way we were used to working anyway.
Right.
Because I wouldn't have looked at him anyway if he did.
Well, that was one of the great pleasures. Is that at the end of St. Helena, I went, "Oh, it doesn't feel like we need to do major rewrites. There might still be rewrites before we take it to the Folger, but it still feels pretty good."
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your particular venue via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also contact us on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll respond. Social media should be a dialogue, people, not a monologue. Some of you actually posted reviews of this podcast on iTunes. Thank you very much for those. If you haven't done it yet, it's not too late, and every review on iTunes helps. In fact, we are ranked higher in the UK iTunes store, and yet we have fewer reviews from UK podcast listeners on iTunes. I don't know why that is, but UK podcast listeners, if you would switch over to iTunes right now and drop us a review, I'd be very grateful. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, sleeping audience member Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to James Schooler. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Matt Walker, artistic director of the Troubadour Theatre Company in Los Angeles, creator of such contemporary classics as Romeo Hall and Juliet Oates, Fleetwood Macbeth, Much Adoobie Brothers About Nothing, A Midsummer Saturday Night Fever Dream, and Hamlet, the tragedy of the artist formerly known as Prince of Denmark. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 1359th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
And we're joined this opening weekend here in Notre Dame by Reduced Shakespeare Company actor Dominic Conti, who's
the Conti,
the D Crush, who has
what's up,
and who has watched the show from both the front and the back.
Heyo,
hello, nurse.
Congratulations, Dominic. Your thoughts?
So far, so good. Keep it up, or face my wrath.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.